Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. As I give over to the pastor, Pastor Lee, God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor.
Pastor.
We take our scripture reading from Judges chapter 13, verse 17. And Manoah said unto the Lord, angel of the Lord, what is thy name? And when the sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus? After my name, seeing it's a secret. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may take your seat, sir. I want to thank our dear Pastor Johannes for the privilege to come and minister the Word of God in Bloemfontein. And I appreciate each one of you for coming together this morning. I want to speak on the greatest secret or the greater mystery. Yesterday we background a little bit about the ministry of this prophet. Today we have so many people trying to understand who Brother Branham is. Some say he's a prophet. Others say he's not a prophet. Some say that he does not know what he's saying. Some say, well, he knows what he's saying. So what we learned yesterday, that the ministry of Brother Branham is very complex. And God uses him under different anointings. So if you don't understand Brother Branham's ministry, you'll not understand why he says something and why he changes it later. When the angel of the Lord met him and he said to him, do the work of an evangelist. But he was born a prophet. And the angel gave him 2 Timothy chapter 4. Says, do the work of evangelists, for there will come a time they will not endure sound doctrine. So they will turn to fables and stories. So being born a prophet, he traveled the world 7 times. And he saw what the condition of the church was. During that period of time, as an evangelist, though born a prophet, he had different anointings. He had the anointing of Moses. He had the anointing of Elijah. He had the anointing of Gideon. He had the anointing of Paul. He had the anointing of Joshua. He had the anointing of Jesus. And so when you understand that he was under different anointings, one man having different ministries, And that's the reason why people don't understand him. And so doing the work of evangelist, he saw that the church had forgotten its role. Its role was to stand up against ungodliness. Its role was to stand for the word of God. Its role was to prepare the people of God. But what was happening? The church that started on the day of Pentecost fell amongst thieves. You see the story in the Good Samaritan. A man traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho. And the Bible says he fell amongst thieves. That man was the church that was born on the upper room, that gave birth to 120. Apostles came out of that. And the first apostle was Paul. And Paul laid the foundation of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And Paul said, after my departing, grievous wolves will follow, not sparing the flock. Paul already knew that the church is going to fall. The truths are going to get lost. And what God wanted is to have a bride. And so we see that the church goes through to darkness. So that's why in the seven church ages, John saw seven golden candlesticks. He saw seven stars, telling you that the ages was now going from light to darkness. Paul was the first messenger. He was the first prophet messenger. But Paul did not have the full word of God. Because he says we are looking through a glass darkly. He says we have partial understanding. He says, but there will come a time that there's something that will come that is more perfect. We'll have better understanding. And so we see that the church had forgotten where it started. The seven messengers were sent. They were the only light for the age. And many truths was lost. You see, when God created Adam, Adam and the woman had fellowship with God. The Bible says that the pillar of fire will come down in the cool of the evening and have fellowship with Adam. Adam had the rights to the title deed. Brethren says he was a miniature or amateur God. Creation was subjected to Adam. The animal kingdom was subjected to Adam. But when sin came in, it separated man from and God. Man could not fellowship with God. Over a period of time, they forgot who he is. Man could not talk back to God, because the prophet says there was a chasm. And man could not cross over. Ever since then, man has been trying to find out who God was. And that's why we read in the book of Judges that Manoah wanted to know, what's your name? And from the time of creation, he had Moses asking the same question. I want to see your face. I want to know who you are. And Jehovah God says, you cannot see me and live. Says, if you see me, you will surely die. Gideon also had the same question. Jacob had the same question. He wrestled with the angel. And he asked the angel, what is your name? And the angel said, what is that to you? Man was always trying to understand who God was. Where did he come from? What was his qualities? What was his traits? How can we come close to him? And so we find in the seven church ages, we have these seven messengers. They only had a partial understanding of who God was. Because it was not the time and the season. And so we see in 1906, the Pentecostal age starts. And in 1909, you have a prophet that was born. After 2,000 years, the pillar of fire visits the church again. And the angel said to him in 1933, born a prophet, but do the work of an evangelist. And so he has different anointings. But remember that he did not also have full understanding. And you will hear him talk about the Trinity God. He'll talk about the Triune God. He'll be making statements and later on he'll be changing it. Because he was now doing the work of an evangelist. And sometimes he'll be nice. And then sometimes he will be very hard. He'll talk to a woman preacher. And he'll tell her, I see you're a pastor. He says, you go back to your church and continue the work of God. And people are wondering what's going on. Because if he's a prophet of God, why is he talking to a woman that way? You see, from 1933, he was trying to understand who he was. He did not even know what the Holy Ghost was. That one day he goes to a meeting. He saw a number plate, Jesus only. And he just wanted to know what was going on. And he saw this man on the pulpit. A very old man. And he said to himself, what are they wasting the time bringing this man up? But when he got behind the pulpit, Brother Brown says, I want what he's got. He was jumping from this end to the other. And after the meetings, he had so many invitations to come and preach. You see, the night before, he was sitting in between the ministers, and the pastor and the preacher was calling. He says, there's a man who came here yesterday, and his name is William Branham. Does anybody know who he is? And Brother Branham, doing the work of evangelist, was sitting in the congregation and he began to hide. Why? Because he was the seed. He was the seed. The seed. He was hiding amongst the shuck. So he began to hide behind the chairs. And the speaker was saying, there's a man by the name of William Branham. We want you to come to the pulpit and we want you to talk to the church. And he began to hide in the church, behind the chairs. And there was a man next to him. And so Brother Branham was talking to that man. And the man was saying, well, do you know who's William Branham? He says, don't tell anybody, I'm William Branham. So this man here said, yeah, he is. So because this was the seed hiding amongst the shuck. Because he felt it wasn't his time yet. And the man said, go up there. Say, no, I can't go there. Say, no, these people don't worry who you are. Just go there and you preach. And so you start to go behind the pulpit. And you hear, you know, the sermon, he says, he spoke about heaven. And he spoke about, did he cry? He says, and the people began to cry. And he began to cry after that. And so he went away, told his wife, there's so many people who want me to come and preach. And she said, we need to talk to our mother, Mrs. Brumbrick. And Mrs. Brumbrick said to him, you want to take my wife, my daughter, to that crash? And right there, was his mistake. Because a few years later, God took hope and Sharon Rose. And when she was dying, he said to Hope, we made a mistake, eh? We should not have listened to your mother. So from 1933 to 1946 was the silent years of Brother Branham. God never really spoke to him. You don't hear much about him. In 1946, you find the angel of the Lord comes to him and meets him in the cave. And begins to talk to him again and told him about the two signs that he's going to have. He says, with the two signs, you're going to get to know what the sicknesses are, and you're going to get to know what the secrets of the heart is. Being an evangelist, he traveled the world and he saw how the church was deceiving the people. So he comes back and preaches the deceived church, impersonation of Christianity. Just once more, Lord. Once more. Christianity versus idolatry. Why are we not a denomination? He's using all the titles now as an evangelist. And he's trying to tell the church that there's deception behind the pulpit. Now, he was born in America. And America was founded by the early fathers who left Europe and came to America and said they're going to have a country that's going to be on Christian principles. They had the Bible there, which was the foundation. But as I was telling you, that when this prophet came on the scene, America was already corrupted. He was watching the country that ran away from Catholic spirit was now being influenced by Catholicism. And he begins to speak about John F. Kennedy. Speak about Ahab and Jezebel. And say how the Catholic spirit have come back into the White House. So from 46 to 62, he's doing the work of evangelist, rebuking the church, telling the people the system is corrupted, telling them the ministers that are behind the pulpit are not called. And he tells them that we need to get back to Pentecost. We need another upper room experience. And so during the evangelical meetings, thousands of people came to the services. But they came because of the first and the second pole. And Laodicea saw that if we get Brother Branham to the meetings, the church will be full. We'll have bigger offerings. We'll have more money. So Brother Branham's ministry was used to attract the crowd. That is how ladies got rich. So he preaches about Samson and Delilah. Why? What was Samson's strength? Samson's strength was in the hair. Because the hair is the covering. He was born under the Nazarite vow. But Samson began to tell the secret to Delilah. And Delilah found where the secret of Samson was. And so she betrayed Samson. Samson represents the church, where the power of God was stripped away by ministers who was not preaching the word of God. Because you see, the hair is your covering. The hair is a sign of headship. So when a woman has long hair, it is showing that she submits to her husband. If she can have long hair and she does not submit to her husband, it means she does not have a revelation of why you need to have long hair. And so we see that what Delilah did, she shaved away the locks of Samson. And that's what Brother Branham was seeing. That the church was shaving away the word of God. So when you take the word of God out of the church, you weaken the church. That's why the angels that do the work of an evangelist. He says, because there's going to come a time that these people will not endure sound doctrine. So around 1962, you see the meetings of Brother Branham was getting less. Because now people were following an impersonation. Now you have pastors impersonating Brother Branham. They all are claiming to have the first pull and second pull. They all are claiming to be called of God. And the angel warned him. You see this? All these impersonations? It's because of what you did. You explained this to the people. You told them about the first pull. You began to explain about the second pull. By teaching them this, now you've been telling them the secrets. And that is now weakening what we're planning to do. So the third pull, you are not going to explain it. Because that's going to go with you to the grave. So 1962, the meetings of Brother Branham was getting less. All the people are going out now to the Pentecostal meetings. The Pentecostal meetings was pulling a crowd. Now you're going to say, but how was it possible? You see, Brother Branham was born under a certain star. That star was the time that the prophet, he came upon the earth. Now remember that Brother Branham had an angel. So seven messengers, seven spirits. Every messenger had an anointing. Brother Branham had an angel that anointed him under the ministry of an evangelist. And I want you to notice something. Brother Branham, after the services, he'll come to the end of the meeting. He says, I'm waiting for the angel of the Lord. Now that was a different angel. He had an angel anointing him as an evangelist. But when this angel comes down, he says, I take every spirit under my control. He says, your name is so and so. You live in a certain place. That was not the evangelical anointing. It was a different anointing. Here's another thing I want you to notice. There are seven ages. In the seven ages, you've had seven seals. But the first four seals cover the seven ages. The fifth seal speaks about the theophonic world. The sixth seal is a judgment seal. But there's very little recorded about the seventh seal. But that's the seal that we need to know about. So when that angel was coming down, he would say some things. He says, I'm not the one who's doing that. But you know, Jesus is standing right here. But which Jesus is talking about? Because if Jesus comes down, according to the book of Acts, the rapture should take place. So that means there's a mystery there. Well, hopefully we can get to that today. So when that angel was coming down, it was the seventh seal opening in part. In the first seal, he says, here is the plan. He says, God first declares it in the heavens. He says, the seal is opened. A church age starts. A mystery is revealed. He says, the messenger catches the mystery not yet fully revealed. Not yet fully revealed. That means he catches a little bit of understanding. So there's a ministry here that is an evangelical ministry, doing the work of an evangelist. Remember, there are two understandings of evangelism. The traditional evangelism will speak about Jesus and the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection. But the end time evangelism is something different. It's about the message. Are you with me this morning? So he had an anointing to do the work of evangelist. But what ministry was behind the pulpit now that was discerning the hearts of the people? He did not know who that angel was. It's only later he begins to learn who that angel was. So in 1962, the church was getting empty. And he told the Lord, he says, there's not too many invitations I have now. All the doors are closing. Because now he began to start rebuking the denominational church. And the ministers were not happy. Because he began to tell them that you're using the church to make money. You're running the church as a business. You got ministers that are not even qualified. You got deacons that are not even qualified. Your dressing is not in order. So he was rebuking the preachers. He was rebuking the system. But more especially, he was rebuking the age. The age of Laodicea. He was calling the age to repentance. If you read Revelation 3, be zealous and repent. That's not for an individual. This is calling the age to repent from where it has fallen. There were many men that were with him. You have Charlie Cox. Very green. Eddie Biscoe. Brother Bank Woods. All these men, Brother Baxter. All of them were there when you're doing the work of evangelist. But as you was in, as the time was come to 1962, these men were leaving the meetings. Gordon Lindsay wrote A Man Sent from God. But in 1962, they all began to leave. Demas Shikarian left him. The prophet began to say, you know what? He says, in the present stage of my ministry, he says, I've got a dust saved the Lord for Demas Shikarian. What was God doing? God was leaving the Pentecostal age. That means that around 1962, God's going to turn the corner. The ministry of evangelism is now coming to a close. So, the work of 2 Timothy, verse 4, that Paul wrote was actually a prophetic scripture for Brother Branham to do the work of evangelism. 1963, the Lord's going to open the seals. But in 62, Branham Tabernacle gets renovated. But people are looking at the temple. Or looking at the church. But God was renovating the man. Preparing him for a new ministry. A ministry of Revelation 10:7. Revelation 10:7 is the work of a prophet. Because in 1963, the book has to be opened. Which is recorded in Revelation 10:1. I saw a mighty angel come down, a rainbow above his head, and a little book in his hand. And so now God did not want the Pentecostal church to know about the book. So in Revelation 3:20, we read about, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That knocking was the two pulls. That God wanted the church, the age of Laodicea, to notice there was a ministry on the earth that is trying to get their attention. Because when somebody knocks on the door, they want you to open the door. That's why people knock on your door. But the age was not opening the door. And so we find that in 1963, Brother Branham now begins to cry out, "Come out of her, my people." He was not sending them back to the Pentecostal churches. Because in 1963, the seals are opened. So Revelation 10:1 is equal to 2 Thessalonians 4:16. Revelation 10:1 and 2 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, is where the message starts. You see, most people think that 1946 to 1965 that Brother Brown is preaching to the elect. That's not correct. Because from 46, he was preaching to the lukewarm. He was preaching to the backslidden. He was preaching to the denomination pastors. He was preaching to the system. He's rebuking the age. 1963 is where the corner was turning. Now it means that those people that were in Laodicea, they were either tied to Laodicea, But there will be some that will be sealed under the Pentecostal age. Because Brother Branham was a messenger to the Pentecostal age, where the gifts were restored. That is why people like Perry Green, people like Gordon Lindsay, people like Eddie Biscoe, they speak about the experiences of Brother Branham. They don't really get into doctrine. It's only later that people began to try and get into doctrine. But before that, they'll be talking about Brother Branham's experiences with the killer bull, his experiences with the storm and the hornet. But were these men sealed? Were they born again? Yes, those that believe Brother Branham to be a man of God, they were sealed under the Pentecostal age. So you'll hear from 46 to 62, the prophet crying out, let's go back to Pentecost. We need another upper room experience. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so we find that in 1963, when the word becomes opened, when the book is revealed, and when the Bible says in Revelation 5 the book was closed, what does it mean? Does it mean that it's a book and somebody closed the book and then somebody opened the book? So what book are we talking about? Are we talking about the mysterious book that you can't see? What does anybody in the congregation, what book was he talking about? Because you hear the message, people speak about the book was open. And the Lamb took the book, broke the seals. But what was the book? You see, in the days of Adam, Adam knew the secret to fellowship. He knew how to communicate with God. But when sin came in, that secret got lost. That mystery got lost. Because now man does not know how to come back to God. So what do you think God did? He had prophets to write the Bible. But there was nobody that was there to interpret the Bible. That's why you only have one scripture that will tell you a little bit. The Lord can do nothing unless He reveals His secret to a prophet. So to understand the Bible, there must be a prophet. Without the prophet, you can't understand the Bible. So now when Revelation 5, when it says the book was closed, it means the understanding of the Bible was closed. So man was preaching for 2,000 years without understanding what they're preaching. They were using what Bible scholars were doing. And these Bible scholars were not even born again. And that's what Brother Branham was seeing. Men that were behind the pulpit, that were not even born again, and does not even know the secrets of God, and they're trying to get the people saved, but they don't know how. So when that angel was coming down, he was coming down to give the secrets. He's coming to give you the mysteries that was in the mind of God. So Revelation 10:7, is now Brother Branham's role as a prophet. So now he moves from evangelism, from doing the work of evangelism, from 2 Timothy chapter 4, it now becomes Revelation 10:7. Revelation 10:7's job now was not to become evangelism, but must come to reveal the symbols. Come and tell you what the first six seals are. Come and tell you what went wrong in the church ages. Come and reveal the Jezebel spirit, the Nicolaitan spirit, the denominational spirit. To come and tell you the Trinity is not of God. So you'll hear that Brother Branham in Revelation 10:7, doing the work of a prophet, still does not know everything. One man with different anointings. Are we together? So the first six seals is about what took place. Or should I say it this way? The first four seals is the church ages. Tells you what went wrong there. That's why the messenger says, this seventh angel doesn't have a message. His job was to gather all the loose ends, all the lost things. Because he wants to show you what was lost from the time of Paul. What was taken away from the time of Paul. And if you put it back, then you're going to have the apostolic faith. So Revelation 10:7 was to gather the loose ends. So during this period, I want you to remember all those different anointings of Moses, Elijah, Joshua, all of them come back in the prophet's life. Yeah, so that would be from 46 to 65. These anointings changes. And that's why people in the message can't understand it. And that's why they are making statements that Brother Branham is not a prophet. So why would they not understand it? Because God does not want them to know it. But the bride will know who he is. So Revelation 10:7, his job was to reveal every symbol. And now that the symbols are revealed, Revelation 10:7 becomes Malachi 4:5. His job is to teach you and to turn your heart to the apostolic faith, to what Paul preached. Do I make sense? So now that they know what Paul was preaching, Brother Brand now begins to realize under the teaching of that angel. Now we've got what Paul was preaching, but this is not enough. We need more than that. Because Paul did not have three pulls. Paul was not adopted. He wanted to know the power of God. That he said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. So that power that Paul was looking for was the power that would take him to the rapture. Paul knew there was something greater. But it was not Paul's season to reveal it. It was Paul's job to write it. In the message unveiling of God, it says the pillar of fire commissioned Paul to write. But in this age, the same pillar of fire comes to interpret. So Malachi 4, 5 and 6 is made up of part A and part B. So part A is to teach you. So once you are taught, the faith of the fathers, now you need to come up. That's what Paul says. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. So that means the church ages, when the seals were opened, Brother Brown says it was the church in infancy. That means the church was now just starting again. She was now a baby. But she needs to grow. So in 1963, now that there's a message, he now calls them out. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of a plague. God leaves the Pentecostal. You see, in from 46 to 62, he says, I call you church. But from 63 onwards, he says, I don't call you church. I call you bride. Why? Because now God has sealed the Pentecostal age. He's not dealing with that age anymore. God has moved on. So from 63 onwards, right until 1965, was a different ministry altogether. But where was that in Revelation 10:1? That is coming down with the book. Bible says it's an angel. I saw another mighty angel come down. And Bible says this is that angel is on the pulpit. And sometimes you'll call it Jesus or the angel of the Lord. And when you read the book of Revelation, the Bible says that John fell down to worship him. And John said, don't worship me. I'm your fellow brethren. The prophets. But who was that? Some people say that's Brother Branham. Some people say that's a theophany of Brother Branham. But Brother Branham in the message, he says that's a prophetic spirit. That was with all the prophets. He says that same prophetic spirit is in the building tonight. You see, there are two angels that God uses, Gabriel and Michael. Michael walks with the Gentiles. Gabriel walks with the Jews. And so Revelation 10:1 was Michael coming down as an angel. You'll read that in the book of Daniel. The Daniel is in the book of Daniel, we know that Michael is tied to the secrets that's in the book. Michael is tied to the resurrection. Because you read in the book of Jude that Michael was there fighting over the body of Moses. Because Michael is tied to the resurrection. So sometimes when that angel comes down, it's Michael. But sometimes when that angel comes down, it's God himself. That's why you read in 2 Thessalonians. The Lord himself. Why didn't the Bible say the Lord? Because if you read Psalms 110, verse 1, maybe somebody could read it for me. Somebody can read for me in English and then. Deep, brother? Yeah, yeah. The Lord said unto my Lord. To who is that? Who was that talking? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand. David was so inspired. Now, what can you see about Psalms 110? What can you see there? Anybody? Look at it again. The Lord said unto my Lord. There are two lords. Are they all written the same? Is not one written in capital letter? Sorry? In the King James, it's one. What does it say in the King James? Both capital letters. See that, Bill Larry? All letters of the first Lord is capital letters. The second Lord is only the first letter is L. What was that? Because when you read that there, when you go back to your Bible, capital letter L O R D is Jehovah. That is why you read in 2 Thessalonians, it says the Lord himself. So who was the second Lord? Remember the Sarah called Abraham what? When Joseph was walking by, what did the people do? They called him Lord. So Lord does not only refer to God. And one of the things Brother Branham saw is that the church did not know who their God was. That's why in Nicaea Council, was it 325? They were trying to, who's God? Who's the Father? Who's the Son? What's this Holy Spirit? Three gods? The message people are confused today as well. We got our friends outside there. They singing to God. They singing to Jesus. You singing to Jesus. You singing to God. Who's right? You see that mystery? I read to you in the scripture. Is where they were asking, what's your name? We want to know what's your name, because that's what the church was going through. They were struggling to find out what was the name of God and who was God. Because Brother Brian was seeing that the people did not know who their God was. And Moses wanted to see him. He wanted to see his face. In Exodus chapter 33.
Exodus 33:20.
I'm not going to read it, but you can see the Bible says, there shall no man see me and live. But Jeremiah 24:7 says, I will promise you. I will give them a heart to know me. That I am the Lord. Can you see the capital letter L O R D there again? And they shall be my people. And I will be their God. You see, before creation, God had a desire. And God's desire was that he wanted to have a family. Because you read the message and God was alone. He was called Elohim. He existed even before there was a star. The prophet says he was alone with his thoughts. And once he was alone in his thoughts, he says, I need a family. He planned the entire civilization. The different planets, the different worlds. And so he said to himself, I need to have a family. But the problem is, with my presence is so great, if somebody has to see me, they'll die. Because no man can see me and live. So what did he do? In Psalms 104, he covered himself with light. So this great being, who was not even God, decided to lower himself and said, listen, for me to have a family, I'm going to create a body of light for myself. So Psalms 104 says he covered himself with light. And that's what we call the pillar of fire today. That was God, that was Elohim's theophany. So theo means God. Phini means body.
Phini means name.
Yeah, so theophany means God's body. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, who hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach, no man can see. Now, I want you to learn some rules now. The Bible says you cannot see him. You cannot hear him. You cannot even understand his voice. God was not God. Because Brother Brian says, for him to be God, somebody has to worship him. So he wanted worship. He says, I have to have worship because inside of me, which Brother Brian says are attributes or qualities, he had the ability to be a God. He had the ability to heal. He had the ability to save. He had the ability to have a family. But there was nobody there. So this great being of light says, I need to have a witness. So out of this pillar of fire, he made a body for his son. And the prophet says he gave birth to a son. You might say, but brother, we raise that scripture. Read the book of John. Jesus prayed, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. So before there can be creation, God brought his son and put him into a body of light. And so now you have two lights. Now if you go and study the message, the Brahman speaks of creation, and the prophet of God says, let us make man. And Brahman says, this is now, let us make man. He says, who was he talking to? He says, it was the Father talking to the Son. It's in the message. You can go. I don't have the time, but it's there. All right, so let's go on. So now that he has a son, he's got a witness. So the son was the witness of the Father. Everything the Father did, he stood there as a witness. Are we together? So let's fast forward because we can't go through every step. Let's fast forward now. Adam fell. And God said, I'm going to make a way for my children to come back. But you know, God allowed this to happen. He allowed man to get lost so that he can become a savior. Do I make sense? He says it was blood that took them out. So blood has to come back. Fast forward 2,000 years later, God creates a blood cell and places it in the womb of Mary. Brother Brown says that blood cell was neither Joseph nor Mary's blood. That was God's creative blood. That means in that blood cell, all his qualities was there. How many times you heard people say, hey, but you look like your father. You look like your mother. How was that possible? It's because you came from your father's blood cell. So sometimes you look like your mother, or you look like your father. It's because it's called the DNA. Have you heard him say sometimes, hey, but you talk like your father. Your temper is like your mother. But how did it come to the child? Came through the blood. So you're going to ask now, why did God start a blood cell? Because he wants to start a family. His first family, Adam, fell down. His wife let him down. They brought children that got corrupted. So God says, I'm going to start it over again. This time, I'm going to start it with my own blood. So the prophet says, out of that blood cell, it formed into a body. And that is why you'd find that when the baby was born, the angel said, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So today there's a lot and lots of mystery about who Jesus is. Is he God? Is he the Son of God? Is he God? Is he the Son of God? Was it his blood? Whose blood brought us back? But Jeremiah says, I will give them a heart to know me. So, coming back to 1963, the seals have been opened. Malachi 4 begins to teach the people. Now the people are beginning to understand what Paul had. But it was not enough. Remember I said to you that when Brother Brown says, I was waiting for the angel of the Lord. In 1963, when those seven angels came and met him, he says, there was one angel that was very special to me. He says, I've wondered about it all my life. Why would he wonder all his life? But in 1963, he sees these angels. But when you go back and check his life, he says his family told him that when he was born, there was a light over the cradle. Then he speaks about when he was passing a tree, he heard a voice, don't drink, don't smoke, don't defile your body. I have a work for you. And one day he tried to take some cigarettes. And he heard the sound. Shh. Anybody here heard that sound when they were smoking? Anybody heard the shh sound when you were trying to drink? Because this was a man that God's going to use. He's now going to become a temple that God's going to speak through. So when he saw those seven angels, now you begin to understand. And he preaches the message, it's the rising of the sun. So in 1962, the ministry was looking as though it was Jesus. And they were asking, are you Jesus? He says, no, that will make me his enemy. Because Revelation 10:7 was not a star light ministry. Because a starlight is only for the church ages. In 1963, now he calls the bride. So that now is speaking of the moonlight. Because the moon is the type of the bride. It is reflecting the sunlight. Now I want you to listen to me carefully now. You can preach the first four seals every Sunday. You can preach about it every week, the service. But knowing the Jezebel spirit, knowing the Balaam spirit, knowing the mark of the beast, knowing who the Antichrist is, will not get you to sonship. That means there must be another ministry. You see, all these men that are saying that Brother Branham is not a prophet, and people are saying that cloud didn't come, Brother Branham wasn't there. Did you know that Brother Branham never mentions 28th of February? Where did it start? It was the preachers who started that. Because that picture was taken by a heathen. It was not taken by Brother Branham. But look how God works. 28th of February, 1963, was the season you could not hunt javelina. But Brother Branham was not there 28th of February. Those angels met him before that. And when they met him, that's how the cloud was formed. You can read in the message, come and follow me. But a non-believer took that photograph on the 28th of February. Put it on the Life magazine. And because the ministers did not have all the books and the tapes, like how you got it now, they preached 28th of February. Now all the messages are available. They are free to correct it. The ministers are not saying, hey, but that picture was taken by a non-believer. But the way they preached it in the early days, it was as if Brother Branham said it. So that's why today you have confusions. That the ministers who do not study the message and just merely repeat what they heard are now finding out they got lots of problems. So you have to have another ministry. So you see that angel that was standing by the pulpit telling them the secrets of the heart was just like the days of Moses. The prophet says he had his back to the tent. And he says he discerned Sarah was laughing in her heart. She never laughed loudly. So who can do that? Only God. But God did not tell Brother Branham that he was on the earth. Because it was supposed to be revealed at the end. So the church will begin to guess. The pastors were guessing. And God was not telling them what it is. So one day, the Lord told him, you must come back to Arizona. You must have a talk with him. You see, the first four seals is only to tell you what was lost. Now that you got your foundation right, you have to move forward. But you can't move forward because you need some kind of ministry. I said to you, the seventh seal opened in part in 1946. There's a message which says that the seventh seal brings him to the earth. When the rapture takes place, the corporal body doesn't come to the earth. Bible says he's in the air. But the quote says, and seventh seal brings him to the earth. The seventh seal is not only about the rapture. You say, Brother Lou, how do you know that? It's in the message, the rapture. You can go home and read the message in the rapture. He says, the shout is the message. And he says, the bride is gathered around the shout. So the bride will gather around a shout message that will prepare her to know her God. That will prepare her to become sons of God. I want to apologize because this subject will take me 1 year. I did the seventh seal in our church. I took 150 services. Yeah, 150 services. So that is how much is there. The seventh seal is made out of the shout, the voice, and the trump. The shout is to the living. The voice is to the theophonic world. And the trump is to the Jews. Brethren says, Jesus does three things at his descent. Shout, voice, and trump. Now you have a problem. Because what I just said to you, the shout is the message. So which Jesus is he talking about? Does anybody know? So that mystery is hid under the seventh seal, which is tied to the seven thunders. This is what the understanding of the message churches are. Seven seals is equal to seven thunders. They say seven seals is seven men. They say seven seals is seven dreams. They say seven seals is seven voices. That's not true. Because the first four seals is the seven ages. When the Bible says seven thunders, I said first four seals is the seven ages. So it can't be seven thunders equals seven messengers. It can't be seven thunders equals seven messages. Because they asked Brother Branham, is the seven thunders revealed? He says, that's what the seals are about. So people began to start connecting. Oh, maybe the seven thunders is about the mark of the beast. World Council of Churches. No, brothers and sisters. Seven actually means Shabbat. In Hebrew means an oath. That's why in Revelation 10 he says he comes and he swears an oath. An oath where man and God can become one again. So there's a teaching that's going to come upon the earth, that's going to gather this bride, that's going to bring her into the mind of Christ. Are we together? So we see, brothers and sisters, the seventh seal, the prophecy is that's where the bride is caught up in. Because the first four seals can't do much for you and I. Because you came out. You're out of denomination. You're out of Trinity. You're out of Trinity. You're out of the Antichrist spirit. But then, why are you not going forward? It's because you need to gather around the shout. So this prophet was invited to come back to Arizona. And that's where many things was revealed. And then he begins to start saying, look at the clock. He says, it's the time for the third pull. It's in another statement, he says, the third pull is the opening of the word. But I thought the first four seals was the opening of the word. That is telling you what went wrong. Now that you know what's wrong, you can't be deceived. But now there is a problem. Jeremiah says that I will give them a heart to know me. So when the Bible says, I will give you a new heart, it means I will give you a new way of thinking, of how you see things, how you see situations. You know, sometimes when bad things happen to us, we say, oh, but God, why did it happen? You think God doesn't know? Why did God stop Abimelech to interfere with Sarah? But why didn't he stop Eve? Because everything happens for a reason. You see, we think that God doesn't know everything. He knows everything. You see those men that are complaining about Brother Branham? They are just fulfilling 2 Timothy 4. They can't endure sound doctrine. They are now turning to fables and stories. Like they say, well, where's those men that fell off the bridge? They say, we can't find the bodies anywhere. But did you know that those men are still there at the bridge? It's somewhere on YouTube, we'll find out. He said when they were pouring concrete, these men were working. Machines were working quite fast. And they fell into the concrete. And they never stopped the machines. But the people that's in the message were looking for the bodies in the river. There's nothing that happens without a purpose. Brother Branham's life alone is a mystery. His wife buys him a Bible, brand new Bible, and he's looking for the scripture to preach birth pains. And he wants to speak about the woman giving birth. But he can't find the scripture. His wife gave him the Bible. And he's looking, his wife is thinking, maybe there's a misprint. Everything that was taking place in the life of this prophet was revealing a mystery. He had hope. He had Nida. And Brother Branham believed that Billy Paul would take his Bible and preach one day. But he never gave hope the scripture that he gave to Mira. Hope was a very possessive lady. She types the Pentecostal age. And one day Mira was praying. Because Brother Branham wanted to marry her. And she asked the Lord to give her a sign. And the Lord told her to turn to Malachi 4. Behold, I send you Elijah. He never gave that to Hope. He gave that to Mida. Brother Branham wanted Billy Paul to take his Bible. But the son that was to carry the Bible was born to Mira, which was Joseph. Because Joseph is a type of a promise. So this Bible that Mira gave him, he just couldn't find the scripture. And there was a priest sitting there. A highly decorated priest. He says, son, don't worry. God is fixing to do something. And Brother Blair was able to find that judgment scripture in the priest's Bible. Because you see, there was no judgment scripture in Mira's Bible. Because Mida types the bride. But there was judgment for the Catholic priest. And so you find this prophet that was standing before you and I. God was unveiling certain mysteries. And he was wondering about lots of things. They would ask him many questions. And people up to today said, why does he say this here and he say something there? He was a prophet. He's supposed to know everything. Now, do you know John the Baptist? You know John one day said, behold the Lamb of God. He says, you've got to listen to him. He says, he must increase and I must decrease. But read your Bible. After John was captured and put into prison, he called his disciples. He says, hey, guys, just check whether he's really the one. And yet John said, I saw the light. This is him. Later John said, can check if it really it's him. So how can you have a brother Branham who's anointed under the same Elijah anointing? Be any different like John?
Now Papa is one.
Let me take another example. The disciples asked Jesus, what's the sign of the end? I don't know. There's only my Father in heaven knows it. Oh, but come on, you should know everything. Because on Mount Transfiguration, their voice said, listen to him. We're asking you, what's the sign of the end? I don't know. So if Jesus didn't know, John did not know, you think Brother Brian's going to be any different? See, that's the problem today in the message churches. You have men there that behind the pulpit or not even born again. See, Brother Louis, how can you say that? Well, this is how message churches start. In the early days, they would all listen to the tapes. They came up with big reels. And the people said, look, now that we've got the reels, let's get together in the house. As the people are listening to the tapes, they say, ish, you know what? You speak so well. Now you're going to be the pastor. That's how they started. So the church got together. And this man became the pastor. Then one day, the guy that's sitting somewhere in the corner of the church, no man, I can do a better job than him. So he just has to leave the church. He takes some people with him. Now he becomes a pastor. Now. And it went on and on and on. Men got behind the pulpit who does not even know the message. Take Jeff Jenkins. He spoke about Brother Branham. He had videos made. He spoke that he was a prophet. Today he's running around with short pants. He left the message church. Some famous people in Johannesburg did the same. Now people are asking, no, what's going on? Because men got into the message churches who don't know their God. And that's where all the problem is. This prophet was wondering, who's that angel? So one day he's walking, Brother Larry is walking in the storm, and the voice says, speak to the storm. He says, the storm stopped. He says, the sun came out. And as he's walking, he hears the voice. So don't you want to take a stroll with Jehovah? Now he comes to know who that is. That's Jehovah God. The one that comes down with the book in his hand. So when the Bible says that the Lord himself, God is bringing clarity to Psalms 110. Because they don't know who Jesus is. When Jesus asked Peter, who do you think I am? When Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? Some say that you are Elias. Some say that you are Jeremiah. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. Brother Branham comes in the message, the rapture, and he continues with that. He says, thou art the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I will build my church, of who God is and who Jesus is. You see, brothers and sisters, the people don't know their God. All the songs that we are singing, we need to check our songs. Because Jesus said, I can do nothing unless my Father shows me. And you talk to people, can you explain that to me? This is, well, God was playing the role. He was playing the role of a father. And then he's playing the role of the son. But now let me ask the question. If one God was playing the role of a father, playing the role of a son, anybody is a father here? Anybody that's a father here? Anybody that's a son here? Are you a son as well? So you're one person. Okay. So why, when Jesus was on the cross, he says, my God, why do you lift me? Who was he talking to then? When the woman came to him after the resurrection, he says, don't touch me. I've not ascended to my father and your father. My God and your God. And brother, I say, Jesus had a God. You see, much of the times, the people are preaching the four seals. But the mystery of who God is under the seventh seal. So who is God? Let's go back to the blood cell. That blood cell became a body. And it became a house for Jesus. Remember that the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be called Emmanuel. Mean God with us. Now was God with Moses? Yes or no? Yes. So why didn't call Moses Emmanuel? Was God with Daniel? So why didn't call Daniel Emmanuel? See, that's a mystery under the seventh seal. Where he said only the elect is going to get to know her God. Let's go on. Philip wanted to know him. He said, Philip, how long have I been with you? Don't you know me? When you see me, you see my father. Didn't I tell you just now that people told you you look like your father? But are you your father? You might look like your father because they're seeing the traits, the features. So when Jesus is saying, when you see me, you see my father. He's not talking about this. He's saying the works I am doing. If the Father that doeth the work, he dwelleth in me. So from birth to Jordan, that body was the house of the Son. Now there's many quotes I have. As I said to you, we can take hours and hours to go through this. But let me find this one quote for you. You believe Brother Branham to be a prophet? All right. It says the blood cell. I'm going to read some quotes so you learn. The blood cells were developed by God. It says the flesh cells were developed in the womb of Mary. The flesh cells were developed in the womb of Mary. He says, and that brought the Christ. God came down and lived in human flesh. So it was not God becoming flesh, but it was God coming to live in that flesh. Okay, I'm going to show you a few more so you can follow me. I don't know if you can read. Is it too small, Brother Larry? I'm going to spend some time here, and then I want you to go so that your Bible, when you go home, you can pray and you can look at this, right?
Oh yeah, how can I?
In John 18:8-18. I'm the one that bear witness of myself. And the Father that sent me bear witness of me. Does your Bible say the same thing? That Jesus was sent by the Father? In 1 John 18. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. That means you cannot see the invisible God. God has to be in a body. So from birth to Jordan, God made that body for the Son. I'm just looking for a quote that I want to show you where the prophet of God tells us. Now, everybody is preaching that Jesus the Son is God. Let's look at the message of paradox. Now look at this 12-year-old boy. Not knowing what he said. He was a boy. But he was the word. He said, "No, you're not. I'm about my father's business." Now look at this paragraph here. This little boy, 12-year-old child, no wisdom at all. Why? But just a 12-year-old boy. The father didn't dwell in him at that time. Can you see it? The father did not dwell in him. So from birth to Jordan, he was called Jesus. Not Jesus Christ. Not Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus. When a baby is born, they put a tag on the baby's hand. Whose name is on the tag? Whose name they write on the tag? Your mother. What's your name, sister? What's your name? Vuyewa. So why they didn't write Vuyewa? Why they wrote the mother's name? Because he's telling you that angel said, give that child the father's name, Jesus. That's why you took your mother's name. You took your mother's name because at that point in time you never had a name. So when Jesus, when this baby was born, they could have called him anything. He says, no. You call him Jesus. And then what did Jesus say? I come in my father's name. The prophet comes and he interprets that. In God's chosen place of worship. He says, the father's name is Jesus. And he gave that name to his son. Just like how your mother gave you her name for the period of time when you were in a hospital, you were called by your mother's name. So you had an identity. So that angel said, you call him Jesus. Because he's going to take his father's name. How many of you took your father's name? You see it in your book of life? Your surname? Isn't it belongs to your family? So that was what was happening here. But what God was doing, he was hiding a mystery. He didn't want everybody to know who he was. So he began to hide these mysteries of who God was and who Jesus was. He says, but I will give the elected a heart to know me. She will get to know who I am. She will come to the right way of worship. So we are reading here. It says, the 12-year-old boy, the father did not dwell in him at that time. Because he came one day when he baptized him. He saw the Spirit of God coming down and went in him. Now he is Jesus Christ. The church world does not know this. They don't know there's a father. From Jordan to Gethsemane, the father lives in the body he made. So now you have a father and a son living in one body. You say, but how is that possible? What about Adam and Eve? They lived in one body. Then God separated the woman. And he separated the man. Do it make sense? You can read this message here in Question and Answers, 1954. 15th of May. Yeah. He says, God came down and dwelt in his Son, Christ Jesus, making him God on earth. So from Jordan to Gethsemane, he becomes the incarnated God. That's where all the quotes that you read, that Jesus is God. It's from Jordan to Gethsemane. When the sins of the world came upon him, he cries at the cross, "My Father, my God, why did you leave me?" You see, because God is a spirit. You can't see God. He has to live in a temple. He has to live in a body. What's this now? 16th of May 1954. When Solomon built the temple, it was dedicated. God came into the temple and dwelt there. Now everybody is preaching Jesus the Son is God. It's because they don't understand the seventh seal. I hope today that you'll see something that you've never seen before. Now read this with me. When Jesus Christ was dedicated to God on the River Jordan, God came down and dwelt in Jesus. Now, if Jesus the Son was God, who was he dedicating himself to? Jesus was just the Son of God. God comes to dwell in the body from Jordan to Gethsemane. And that is why he could say to Philip, "When you see me, you see my Father." He says, "There is the temple of God. God dwelleth in Christ." Are you understanding something today? He says, and another quote, okay? In Kankerworm, in a preach, 23rd of August, 1959. See what the prophet says here. It says, Christ means anointed. It says, Lord means ownership. Lord does not only mean God. He says, Lord means ownership. Can you see that there? I'm underlining so you can see it. He says, Lord means ownership. That means that was God's Son. God came down and dwelt in him, which made him both Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's what the brother Brian says, the fullness of God was in him. He says, you got it in measure. But he had it without measure. So I'm just trying to hit the highlights, okay? In the message, 19th of December 59, question and answers, he says, he placed his tent amongst us. God dwelt in a tent called Jesus Christ. So Jesus was a tent. Jesus was a house. Remember they asked him, They asked him, when was the sign of the end? He says, I don't know. But Brother Branham says, after the resurrection, and somewhere in between, that God began to tell his son what his role is. And that's why you have Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, you can immediately see that there is a mystery that the church world knows little about. Because I want you to know that there are some qualities that only God has. God is invisible. You can't see God. Because the Bible says in John 1:18, no man has seen God anytime. 1 Timothy 1:17 says he is immortal. He is eternal. What does the word eternal mean? No beginning, no end. So how can we say Jesus is eternal? Because he has a beginning. I showed you that the prophet says, and God gave birth to his son. And if you have a beginning, you must have a soul. And if you have a soul, you can't be eternal. That's why Timothy says he is king eternal. No beginning, no end. The only wise God means omniscience. He knows everything. Jesus couldn't answer them that question. I don't know the sign of the end. In Hebrews 11:27, say, seeing him who is invisible. Colossians 1:15 says, yeah, who is the image of the invisible God? So I'm showing you that everything about God you can't see. But in order for him to be seen, in order for him to have a family, he made that blood cell. So he can continue his work in his son. And that's why the disciples were saying, when you're talking to us, we can understand you. But when those people are coming here, you're speaking in parables. You see, God will only reveal himself to the elected. He's not going to make it known to everybody. Our friends out there are singing. They're singing to God. They're not singing to anybody else. But there's only one group of people that he's going to make himself known to. That's the bride of Jesus Christ. That's why you need the seventh seal. Because the seventh seal is what's going to tell you more about God. So Jesus was the visible image, that's what he says, of the invisible God. But Jesus on his own was not God. That's what the Bible says. There's so many scriptures. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. I can do nothing unless my Father shows me. In one message, Brother Branham says, and Jesus got weak. Now, where do you see a God getting weak? He says, when the woman touched him, he got weak. He says, the reason he got weak is because the Father didn't give him a vision. Jesus could only operate with what the Father shows him. If the Father didn't show him, he can't do it. But who is the one that we worship? We worship the Father. Even our songs should be about the Father. Because the Bible, Brother Brian says, God will share his glory with no one. Do I make sense? John 5:37. The Father himself, which hath sent me. So that means Jesus is saying, I'm sent by the Father, had borne witness of me. You have never heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. But how is it the church world is saying Jesus is God? They're singing about him. You want to know where the mystery is? Is that God gave his own name to that body. And said, he says, that name is Jesus. That's why he says, the seven thunders will reveal the new name of God. All through the Bible, they wanted to know who God was. What was his name? And Brother Brown comes down. He says, in God's chosen place of worship, the Father's name is Jesus. And he gave that name to his Son. So he kept that mystery away from many message people. And once you know God, then you know how to pray. Now, when you are praying, you might say, but Brother Louis, who do I pray to? You're going to pray to the Father. When the disciples asked him, teach us to pray. What did he say? You pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven. Why didn't he say our Jesus? Because there's a Father and there's a Son. God wanted a family. So he used the Son to show his works. But what is the greater mystery? It was about the blood. I told you at the beginning, it was the blood that took the human race away. And it was blood that was needed again. You see, Adam had blood. Before the fall, Adam's blood was pure. So when the woman fell, why didn't Adam give his blood? To save the wife? The blood was pure. Adam's blood was not designed for redemption. That blood never had the power to bring back the woman. That's why God made blood. God made a body. And God said, listen, I need to come down myself. I need to give my blood. Now, when Adam fell, Were you there? When Adam sinned, did you sin? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. And no. Yes, when Adam died, you died. No, because you didn't do it yourself. Adam represented you. So when God saw Adam fail, He saw you fail. Are you with me? So Adam could not save his wife. And God said, listen, I'm making my own blood. I'm making my own body. And I'm going to get my blood to be shed on the cross. And my blood is going to pay the price. But I've got a problem. When the sin comes onto this body, I can't be present. That's why the father left the son in Gethsemane. Read the message conferences. The sins of the entire world was placed upon that body. Now the father is talking to the son. Not to God. The father talking to the son. Say, son, I brought you into this world because you have one purpose, to express me. Now your job is to take this body to the cross. They're gonna hurt you. They're gonna put the whip on you. They're gonna poke you. But it's all because I want the blood to come out. And when the blood comes out, then I brought that man. And you'll see in the message conferences, Brother Ben says, and the lamb and the dove had a talk. Because the dove was the father, and the lamb was the son, and the dove was leading the lamb to the cross. That's why he could say, when he was on the cross, my God, why did you leave me? And the Bible says they pierced him. The blood came out. And the prophet says that's when the bride was born. And because he was faithful, the Bible says there's so many scriptures, and God raised Jesus from the dead. Now many people quote the scripture, I have the power to lay my life down, and they stop and they say, well, that's Jesus, he died for me. But they stop halfway. Because the Bible goes on to say, this I do as my father commanded me to do. He asked me to lay my life down. And so when he died and rose again, Paul said, God gave him an excellent name. Peter says, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made him Lord and Christ. So how can you make somebody Lord and Christ? You can't make God Lord. He's already Lord. But what he did, He made his son a lord or a master. Because he said, this is my firstborn. My firstborn son. Joseph typed him. Just like how they were bowing down when they saw Joseph. For seven church ages, they will believe that Jesus the Son was God. That's why they're preaching Jesus the Son is God today. God hid that mystery. Then Brother Branham comes and preaches unveiling of God. What did Brother Branham come to do? He came to unveil who God really was. He said Jesus was just a mask that God used. He says, but the one behind the mask is God himself. People were looking to the mask. People were looking to the body and calling it God. Like Brother Branham speaks of the masterpiece. Speaks of the sculptor. And he speaks of the masterpiece. He says Jesus was the masterpiece. But who was the sculptor? Was God. Everybody speaks of the masterpiece. But nobody speaks of the sculptor. We are here to speak about the sculptor. We are here to speak about the sculptor. Because it was the sculptor that made the sun. And that was God. And that's why, brothers and sisters, Jeremiah says, I'll give them a heart to know me. Now look at the titles that Brother Branham comes to preach. What was Luther's message? Anybody? Luther preached? Justification. Wesley? Then what was Brother Branham's message? It says capstone revelation. It says the capstone revelation is the greatest revelation. Who Jesus is. Now look at the titles. Unveiling of God. Mighty God unveiled. Calling Jesus on the scene. Who is this Melchizedek now? Who is this Jesus called Christ? The unrecognized presence of God. That's the capstone revelation. That's the hidden thing that Paul was speaking about. He says there's something hidden. I don't know what it is, but we need to know. That's only going to get opened at the end time. That's what the seventh seal was all about. Are we together, brothers and sisters? There are so many quotes that we can speak about. You see, God had intentionally did it this way because he never wanted everybody to know about the secret. So what did he do? He began to speak in a language that the people will misunderstand. Okay? See this message of who is God? 15th of August 1950. Yeah, he says, I can see this little light go out. Now we got two. The Father, and out of the Father came the light. Can you see this? The Son. Now let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Let's open our Bibles. Can somebody read it for me, please? What is his name and what is his son's name? That's part of the seventh seal. The church from the time of Genesis did not know there's a father and a son. And God hid it. Today the message people are preaching that Jesus the Son is God. But I'm showing you a scripture. I'm showing you quotes. And God hid it. He says, only at the end I will make it known. This is what I was talking to you about. 29th of July, 1953. He asked this question, let us, and prophet said, who? He says, Father and Son. Let us make man, Father and Son. So Jesus was not there from the womb of Mary. He was there before creation. That mystery was hid. The church world will know nothing about it. They will sing songs. They will take the tithing. They will praise Jesus the Son. They will praise Jesus the Son. But only the bride will know her God. That's why he gave you the gene. That gene is so that you might, that you will know him. I have to jump a lot of quotes, okay, because we don't have the time. John 20:17. Jesus said unto her, Don't touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. That means Jesus is actually our brother. Brother Ryan says he's our elder brother. I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to your God and my God. I didn't put it there. That's not speaking of two gods. That is speaking of one God who has a Son. Does your Bible have the same verse? Now look at this. 1 Corinthians 8 and 6. But to us there is one God, the Father of whom all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see that Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letter L, and the rest is small letters? That's how the Bible is written. So if everybody is preaching that Jesus is God, then why did Paul write this? I have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. You see, it's in your Bible. But the ministers behind the pulpit don't know it. Because they need somebody to teach them. 1 Corinthians 3:23. It says, you are Christ. And Christ is God. You belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. Now watch how Paul talks. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus has a father. Matthew 17:5. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm pleased and well pleased. Him. A father talking from the cloud and saying, that's my son. Ephesians 1:17. You might say, but Brother Louis, you know what? How did Paul worship? Who did he thank? Let's see what he said. Ephesians 1:17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So Paul is asking God. He's asking the Father. He's not asking Jesus the Son. 2 Corinthians 11:31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is your Bible becoming a new book? You know, people say, and God the Son. But see how the Bible writes it. Grace be with you. That's 2 John 1:3. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. You see, but many messages people are preaching, Jesus is the Son. So where does it happen? You remember I said that angel was standing there? And brother said, that's Jesus standing there. But he was not explaining which Jesus. That was Jesus the Father. He came down with the book. He came down to anoint the prophet. He was the one that was doing the miracles. The Son Jesus was on the throne, making intercession. He only comes when the rapture is about to take place. And then we rise up to meet him. All right, here's this quote coming up. God only provides a place of worship. But we must find where he did put his name. For in it is his only provided gate. Where did he put his name? In his son. Oh, you see, now wait a minute, Brother Branham. That was the Son, not the Father. The Son always takes the Father's name. He says, I come on this earth in the name of Branham. Because the Father's name is, my Father's name is Branham. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. John 5:43. Now listen to the prophet. I came in my Father's name, and you received me not. Then the Father put his own name, which is Jesus, in the Son. See, only the Father can save and deliver us. John 12:27. Jesus prayed, Father, save me from this hour. Matthew 26:39. Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. John 11:41. Jesus lifted up his eyes. He said, Father, I thank thee. Thou hast heard me. You see, it's all in the Bible. It's all in the message. God wanted to only make it known to the elected. This is the scripture they were talking about, Matthew 24:36. Of that hour no man knoweth, no angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 6:8. For your Father knoweth what things you need of before you ask him. He didn't say before you ask me. Acts 1:7. He said unto them, it's not for you to know the time or the season which the Father had put in his own power. So it's the Father, brothers and sisters, that we worship. It is the Father, brothers and sisters, that has all the secrets. It's the Father that kept that secret away. Why did he do that? He kept it for the end time. That's what the seventh seal was all about. I pray the Lord will bless you and to take for you in a special way and give you grace. Thank you, Pastor. You'll have a lot of questions, I know.
And please don't ask me, you must call me.
You will have a lot of questions. Okay? But as you study the word, what we're going to do, we're going to send our website to our pastor. That I've done the subjects for so many years. Register on our site. And that's where you're going to find all the subjects. I've taken approximately 15 years to do the subject. Because it's one of the most misunderstood subjects. But when God opens your understanding, your message books becomes new. Your Bible becomes new. And you'll enjoy your walk with God. God bless you.